Hey everyone, welcome to Reality TV Wrap-Ups for this sixth episode of Season 4 of The Amazing Race Canada. My name is Jessica Leese, and with me, as always, is my loyal co-host, Mr. Dan Heaton. Hello, Dan. How are you this week?
Hi, Jess. I'm good. I'm scratching my head about this episode, but I think it's going to give us a lot to talk about because it was one of the odder ones of for sure the oddest one of this season, but I don't know. I guess it's kind of that mid-season episode where everything is just kind of, interesting. But am I wrong? Was this the greatest episode in the history of the show?
No, not exactly. I would say there does seem to be this sort of mid-season slump every season of Amazing Race Canada, where it's like we've been, especially, you know, since we started going abroad, it's like we're back from abroad. We'll go somewhere interesting in Canada, and then maybe we gotta showcase one of the metropolitan areas that you wouldn't necessarily think of as a destination. And that's what this episode is. I mean, we had one exactly like this with Sudbury, I think is a comparable episode. And I get why we do it. It's kind of a little pause to take our breath before we get back into something amazing happening, but I think it's starting to feel a little formulaic to me. Good thing that this episode was kind of far from formulaic, maybe not in the best ways, but I think it definitely gave us a lot to talk about.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I think back to the episode and I think like, I mean, you know, there was a roadblock, there was another test, there was a detour, but you know, the episode itself, like you said, it's kind of what you expect, like your generic episode. But, and I think that is why also they focus so much from the start on everything that happened with Frankie and Amy and their decision and their rise to glory and fall off the cliff and then hang on by the edge, barely. But it was interesting. I mean, I feel like we could spend a long time just on, was their decision or was it right? Was it not? But we may be jumping and putting the cart before the horse here. But to get what you were saying, it's rare to me because I think it does happen a lot because you start the season and you say, oh my goodness, I'm so happy the show is back and it's great. And this season's been very good and there's been lots of fun things, but it's really hard to keep that momentum throughout the season. And this is not to let the show off the hook, but I think you're going to have these, especially when you get into where you have more non-eliminations or other things, you're going to have a leg where if there's not an amazing task that you need something else. Luckily we did get something else. So it was not a total failure.
Yeah, it at least gave us some time to concentrate on a little inter-team drama, which I know some people don't love, but I think it's an important and healthy part. So let's go ahead and kick things off with, I think, what has to be our top story, the controversial use of the Express Pass. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's kind of two issues at play here. One is they said, we want to use the Express Pass to get first place. That to me is the first issue, because we've seen teams do that. We saw with Hamilton and Michaela. We've seen it in the past. It's actually a fairly normal way to use the Express Pass. I don't really like that because I feel like, especially, you know, I guess if you've never finished first, like Frank and Amy, it is something to say we can do it. We can finish first. But to me, it seems a little short-sighted. So that's kind of one side of it. The other side is obviously, okay, you make that decision. We want to be first. When do you use it? You normally don't want to use it. I would always think the detour is the better place, one. And two, you don't want to use it really early in the leg. So I think their motivations were a little sketchy, but the big issue, like they mentioned, was the execution. Am I correct in that the choice, I think the bigger issue was when they chose to use it and on what type of task?
Yeah, I think the beginning of the leg, it doesn't really matter. Like you can't say that they should have known the detour was going to be a harder task. Like that's kind of impossible to tell, but I think the first task of any leg is going to leave you with enough things left to do that first place is not guaranteed.
Yeah, and it doesn't even guarantee that you'll survive because, I mean, Kelly and Kate last week came out of the roadblock in third, I think, got to the puzzle and failed. Let's say in some alternate universe, they had an express pass and used it there. They probably still fail at the puzzle. So it's one of those things where it may not have to be the final task, but using it there, yes, it did seem like it took a little while to fly the plane. But as the first task of a leg, you're risking that there's no bunching. There wasn't bunching, so that benefited them pretty much. But you're also risking, they just don't know what's going to happen. And I think they were just so excited to use it. They just thought, let's roll. Let's get ahead and no one will catch us.
Right. And it looked like a cool task. Like, I felt the same way when Tanner and Josh in season 27 used their pass. I was thinking, why are you using it there? That looks like so much fun.
Yeah, and that's another issue too, because I know, I think of how many, you know, there are plenty of things. Like, let's say someone said, you got to, like, putting together the scooter, where I'd say, I don't want to do that. Oh, that's might be my personal issues with putting things together, like IKEA furniture or something. But I look at that and I say, that looks fairly hard, but it's also not fun. Whereas maybe, I mean, I don't think they even, from what we saw, they may have taken some time to think about how hard this is, but they seem like they were ready to use it before they even knew what they were doing. And I don't know, there's not too many chances that you can get to fly a plane like that.
Right. I would kind of want to do it. Like, if I show up and I see someone has been there for 2 hours putting together a mosaic with Mentos, I'm going to be inclined to use my express pass on something like that. But a task like this, where anything involving an airplane, first of all, they're not going to be up there all day. Nobody's going to spend 8 hours on an airplane task just because airplanes are expensive and they have them for a limited amount of time. So you have to think that whatever you're doing up there is going to be over pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, the longest anyone took, I think, was 3 tries. And the fact that so many got it quickly, I mean, they gave them, I know it doesn't seem like much, but they gave them 200 feet on each zone. And I'm guessing that they tested it and realized, okay, with that amount of leeway, most teams will do it in a few tries. So, yeah, because, I mean, the planes have fuel probably, too. I mean, they obviously have fuel. That's probably the dumbest statement I've ever made. But the planes have a limited supply of fuel. The show, you're right, it costs them a lot of money. And yeah, I mean, there's also a risk of if a racer's up there flying for a lot of hours and a lot of hours, who knows what would happen? You know, you don't really want to deal with that.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look on any clue that directs you to an aerodrome, an airfield, a warplane museum, you got to think, I'm going up in a plane. It's probably not going to take that long.
You didn't think that it was like they're going to clean a plane or something, you know, or just something really dull. Yeah. And I think, like, what the actual clue, I wrote it down, was, oh, who's the best backseat driver? Again, you're at an airfield. You see that you're probably going up there and doing something in the air. And maybe even people that were really afraid of heights, you know, possibly a racer that freaked out climbing up a wall, did okay flying the plane. So it obviously, I mean, I might get sick and throw up like Julie did, but I don't think, I mean, to me, it's not even as scary or even as skydiving or something, which also I think would be cool to do on a show like this. This is something even rarer that how many people in your life would you ever talk to? It's like, yeah, I went up and I flew a plane and I did this turn. And I mean, yes, maybe someone with a pilot's license, but that's about it.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I think this is another example of something they would never let you do on Amazing Race US. Like, the liability issues associated with letting someone fly a plane are pretty huge. And I could see, like, I think every task we've ever had involving a plane is pretty passive on the US version.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the first season of the US version. They flew in that glider, but even then they didn't actually pilot the glider, from what I remember. It was more just about sit here and be freaked out. They didn't even, and other times it's usually like, sit here, look down and find some words on the ground or something. It's rarely, or, you know, like the finale of the one season where it's like, drop something in this certain square of, you know, of space. It's rarely ever an active role. So that's also fun. So, and I hate to be too tough on Frankie and Amy because, you know, I mean, hey, they didn't even finish last in the leg, which is good. I thought for sure that's where they were heading, but I almost feel like they missed out. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in it, and I think Frankie and Amy definitely are, if you're in it primarily to get this experience, you should experience everything you can. And my theory on why that is the case for them is that, you know, they did want to try to win a trip. And I think when you play that express pass with the expectation that you're going to come in first place and win a trip, I think sometimes the teams are thinking, well, I'm probably not going to get the final prize, so I should try to get a prize.
Right. I think that's a big part of it, because most of them, a lot of times, especially the team that receives the express pass, like, you know, that, because a lot of times on the US version, it's been the team that finishes first and the premier gets two. That was how they've done it for a while. So the secondary team is kind of like, I can't believe we got this. We got it, because often Frankie and Amy have done pretty well, better than I expected, but they've yet to finish first or second. So that team is thinking, like you said, they don't think they're going to win the race. They think, let's get a trip to, well, this would have been a trip to Delhi, you know, which, let's get that trip. But it is short-sighted. And unfortunately for them, you know, it was pretty obvious pretty quickly it wasn't going to work out. Plus the edit, you know, made it very clear with so much time spent on them that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. And I felt really terrible for them at the point when it was very clear that that was not how things were going to go. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you should have waited until you knew you were closer to the end of the leg. And then if you see that you are within sight of other teams and you could potentially skip a task and get ahead of everybody and get that first place, if that's why you're doing it, that's when you do it.
Yeah. And especially on this leg, because, you know, they got there, they were fairly early, third team to arrive at the roadblock, and not that far behind Steph and Julie, who were doing the roadblock. So in theory, they get to the detour and they decide to do exactly what they did fine on the second task. I was thinking they were going to somehow not be able to kayak or something with the way that it was set up. But they get to, let's say they get to the welding, which nobody did on one shot. And even Super Emmett, you know, I guess, but Julian was involved too. But they if they had gotten there and everyone was there, and let's say everyone tried once and they tried and they're like, we're going to be terrible. They use it right there. And this is, again, a hindsight kind of armchair watcher thing, but they use it there. You know, maybe let's say they don't even plan to use it for sure, but they use it there, they're going to be first place, because it still would have taken, even Steph and Kristen, it took multiple tries. So it's easy to say this now, but, you know, it's the timing just didn't make a lot of sense. I think they were just too excited after getting it, especially, I mean, they didn't, you know, they're several legs since they received it, because now it wasn't like they got it at the end of the last leg, but I guess this time they figured it was the right move.
Yeah, I guess that thing was burning a hole in their pocket.
Yeah, because they can use that. How long? I can't remember if they told us when the last time is they can use it, but it's not like, it's probably at least like up to a few legs from now.
Right. And I would even say, like, even if this had been the last time they could use it, which it clearly wasn't, I would say if it is the last time you can use it, hold on to it. See if you can do any of the tasks, because you don't want to be the person that uses their pass and then gets stuck on a task where, you know, if you just held on to that thing for another half an hour, you'd still be in the race.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, I am sure that you could see when they got to the mat that they were already feeling very embarrassed about it. And I mean, to their credit, they did not take a penalty, you know, that which we have not had a penalty since leg that someone's taken on their own since leg number two. Amazing. But they did switch detours. And as we saw, part of it really is just they picked the wrong detour. I mean, I'm not saying for sure they would have finished first if they picked the other detour, but they still might. We might be sitting here going, well, that was a weird move with the express pass. But hey, they still got first if they had picked the other detour.
Yeah, or we might not even be saying it was weird. We might be saying good for them for using it and coming in first.
Yeah.
Like, and who's even to say?
Yeah. And the show wouldn't have focused on it so much. It would have been like a completely different episode. We would have spent the whole time on Express Pass Gate with everyone talking about Steph and Kristen. The other Express Pass Gate, not this one.
Right. And I guess that's the next thing we've got to talk about here is Steph and Kristen almost getting busted for having had that Express Pass.
Yeah, they really lucked out, man. I was watching it. I mean, I would have thought, I think some of the teams probably figured it out. I mean, you even saw, you know, them, Emmett asking, could Anna Tanya have gotten it? I mean, these teams were giving them so much of a benefit of the doubt, basically like, well, maybe it was a team that got eliminated, but then that got ruled out. So if I'm sure maybe when the leg was done, these teams have to sit down and think about it and like write out there's only six teams left. You got to kind of look at it and go, Okay. We know it wasn't Anthony and Brandon. You know, Kelly and Kate probably would have used it on their, you know, when they basically, and also they were not, they were last in that leg. You got to think, and Emma and Juliet know that Steph and Kristen were planning to go to the express pass place. You would think that they would immediately assume that. And so it's interesting. It's like, I think Steph, this shows something though. Steph and Kristen are, and even the fact that Ashley did not tell other people, being nice to other teams sure doesn't hurt because they give you a huge benefit of the doubt. However, I still think, as we see with the previews, that it's this whole situation's not going away.
Well, it's got to come to a head at some point because Steph and Kristen have to use that thing at some point, right?
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen is that, well, assuming they don't get to the U-turn board first, and if they do, that would be a lot of time spent on something that really doesn't matter. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So my thought is someone's going to get to the U-turn board before them and U-turn them. They're going to use the express pass. They're going to be okay. So I don't think this, I don't believe this is going to be what causes them to get eliminated. I do think though that it kind of shows now that they've won two legs in a row too, it's a way to show them kind of overcoming adversity. I believe the narrative that we created that they are going to win the race, and nothing I've seen in six episodes has convinced me with edit and with their performance that they're not going to win. But I do think this U-turn express pass thing at least is going to be kind of a big obstacle for them to get over.
Yeah. And I think it's also not painting them in the most flattering of lights. Like, regardless of how you feel about the morality of what they did, it just doesn't seem like very smart. Like, and again, this is also 2020 hindsight, but I'm sitting there like, as I'm watching Kristen just agonizing over people keeping asking her about, did you see they had the express pass, and just like praying that people wouldn't put two and two together. I'm thinking, well, if you hadn't been so cagey about it to begin with, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah. And it's almost a situation where you think maybe it'd be better if she just came clean there. You know, I know it's bad because I probably would do the same thing. I'd be like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and stand in there for 20 minutes until my partner's done. But it was dumb. I mean, I know that you're thinking about it in terms of like, we don't want to tell people because they'll U-turn us. But if they had told people they got the express pass at the start of leg three, I mean, they didn't know where the U-turn was coming. So again, it's a hindsight thing. But and now the U-turn is coming in leg seven. I don't think people in leg seven would still be thinking, oh, they got, I mean, even if they do think they have the express pass, which they would, but I don't know. It's too cute to not tell people about it.
Yeah, well, here I'm gonna throw a scenario at you, and we're diving into fan fiction territory. I know. I think I've got a better way to lie about the express pass. Like, I think, here we go. We're gonna go down the fan fiction road. You win your express pass. You have your extra express pass. When you get to the next place where everybody's bunched, and people ask you, did you get the express pass? You say, yeah, I got it. I got the extra one. Then you make some fanfare about handing off your extra express pass. And after that point, there's got to be a point where you're not going to be around other teams for a few minutes. Like, you'll be the first to arrive at a task or something like that. They're good racers. This isn't out of the realm of possibility. And you do the task. And then at some point, the express pass is going to come up in conversation again. You say, oh, yeah, we used it on that.
That's where I thought you were going with that. And that is smart, especially if it's not one of those tasks where everyone's on top of each other with a judge and everyone sees you go, the judge hands you the clue. If it's one of those kind of chaotic, everything's crazy, you're at some station apart from people, you could easily get your clue and not have anyone see you get the clue. Like you said, if there's not other teams or whatever, and then just tell people, yeah, that was really hard, wasn't it? We had to burn it. And of course, then there's always the risk of down the road having to use it and everybody saying liar the same way. And that's even cuter. But I do like the idea of it.
Yeah. And in fact, hang on to it until you see the U-turn. And regardless of whether or not you get U-turned, that's when you burn your express pass. So you have it as kind of U-turn insurance. And that's the only thing it's good for.
Yeah. And that's where it's easy for me at home to say, never use the express pass unless you're in trouble, which to me seems like that's what it's for. It's basically when there's something either you realize quickly you can't do, or let's say you're down to a detour. There's two of you left. Like, you know, we saw, for example, when, you know, Frankie and Amy and Joel and Ashley were at the art, when you're in that situation, that is when you use it. But it rarely happens that way. Like, and you know, Natalie and Megan, you know, great racers, just burned it right away. I mean, really quickly. So it's not like just, you know, okay racers do it this way. It's how most people do it.
Yeah. It's like, I think it must be harder to tell than we are giving it credit for. I think in the moment, you're not thinking as clearly about, is this a good time to burn it or not? Because I think we've seen a lot of people that are very, very good at the race in other aspects, just kind of totally biff the use of the express pass.
I also think, though, that we really benefit from knowing what place everyone is in.
There's because, that too.
Yeah. They don't really run around with a cameraman like holding a sign that says currently in fourth place or currently in sixth. I expect that one of the biggest like surprises, if you know, being on the race versus watching it on TV, is I feel like even when you finish first or second, maybe not first, but a lot of the time, you probably think you're last. Because we don't see, like, even on some DVDs when the US version had a few nice DVD sets at the beginning where they showed extra scenes, and a lot of them were people just like lost in a parking garage or not being able to find a turn or things that we don't even see because they don't affect the placement. But I have a feeling that a lot of times you think you're worse off than you are, which is probably why the express pass gets used so much.
Right. And especially in those situations where there's no other teams around. You could be first, you could be last, you have no way of knowing. You get to that detour, and it's why the detour is, I think the best placement of the detour is the very last thing before you hit the mat, because you're only going to see realistically half the teams. So you don't know if the other detour was really quick or if it was really slow. And I think it's a very rare team that goes to the mat knowing exactly what place they're in.
Right. I agree. I think you find that with the legs that have a lot of people kind of shifting around near the end or such, like we saw, I mean, with Frankie and Amy going from first to fifth, you don't see a lot of teams. Plus, because there's two options, there's a better chance of one of them just being something you're terrible at.
Right, right. So I think to sum up our views on this express pass situation, rule number one, don't lie about not having the express pass if you have it. And rule number two, if you are going to lie with a little bit more style so that you can use that express pass to your advantage later on. And at this point, I think if we see Steph and Kristen get U-turned, which we might have anyway because they're great racers, they're great racers, they're threats, they might have an express pass, and they're cagey. And those are all like, that's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, and that's the thing. At least they do still have the express pass for their, you know, where if they get U-turned, they can use it. Well, I mean, again, I'm assuming they're not going to use it like on the first roadblock next week or something, which they don't seem like the type, because, you know, they've really invested a lot of, you know, mental stress and, you know, feeling uncomfortable into this express pass. I really hope it helps them in some way.
At this point, the guilt might be too intense for them to do anything but hold on to that thing until the bitter end.
Right. It would take like something like a U-turn, because I don't get the impression that, yeah, I think they like getting first, but I don't think it's a case where they're going to be second and they use it to get first. They seem also like they're with how nervous they are about it, that it would take a U-turn or something, or it being the last leg, they can use it to really pull the trigger.
Yeah. And they may not even use it at all. I would not be surprised to see them, you know, wind up in the final leg, still holding on to this like expired express pass.
Maybe, though, I feel like we've spent so, I mean, again, it's hard to say if the time we've spent on the express pass is because they're going to use it or because they're going to last a long time. And it's just to give us kind of, that's why we're seeing a lot of what they're doing. So we won't really know until the end. So you're maybe right. It may be like the hidden immunity idol that just hangs around their neck right to the finals.
Yeah. You know, and then that's okay too. I think the ultimate irony would be if they got eliminated with the thing in their pocket because they were afraid to play it and face the consequences of playing it in front of someone else.
Oh, that would be unfortunate.
It would be great storytelling. storytelling.
That would be just typical, you know, for a team that I've invested, you know, vested picks and my failed fantasy team into, that they would go out that way. But it would be fascinating TV.
It certainly would. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the actual design of this leg, because I think the overwhelming majority of the comments that we got about this episode were to the effect of what a weirdly paced episode this was. So, Dan, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was strange. Well, again, it It kind of felt a little more like a U.S. Amazing Race, like, actually. And I don't mean that like, oh, this is so terrible. But when I first saw John describe the second task, the middle task, I thought, wow, that looks really hard. This is going to be tough for the teams. But no, it was not hard, except for we had some fun moments with Rita and Yvette getting kind of the dodo music when they were struggling to kayak. But in general, that task was just kind of that, and Ashley being afraid of heights, that task was just like, okay, they're, and you know, let's ride some bikes. Oh, I did like the info about Lowell, you know, that was nice about the Olympics. But I know you asked about the design, not about this task, but I felt like, you know, we start out with kind of a cool task, not a hard one, but something cool. Then we have a physical one that's just kind of like, okay, they're, you know, they're doing something.
Yeah, corporate team building exercise.
Yeah. It's like, all right, the trifecta, that's cool, you know? And then, so we get to the detour, which I like the detour, but it was, I think, and then you're getting to the other point about that is the way this episode was set up. Well, I'll hold off on that. The design of this leg, I felt like the detour was well done and the other one task was cool, but it still felt like it was missing something. I don't know if it was the difficulty of the middle task or just that it was dumb.
Yeah, the middle task could have been anywhere. And that was the thing. I think some of these legs tend to not make you really want to pack up and go there. And it's a peculiarity. Like, I felt that way about pretty much every leg of season one of Amazing Race Canada. Was like, wow, that place looks so cool. I want to go there immediately. And they did such a great job of showing off every destination. And now, you know, a few seasons in, we're getting to these legs where it's like, we can show you some stuff that's in this town in case you're ever there for some other reason. But they really did not do a great job of portraying Hamilton as a destination. And I think that might be the missing element that you're talking about.
Yeah, it reminds me of last season where we had, like, they went to that indoor, like, what do you call it? The thing with the jumping where they had to
The trampoline park.
Yeah, the one where Brian, which saved the task, basically.
Yes.
Where Brian was, like, jumping like crazy and, like, acting ridiculous. That's the reason I remember it. But I remember that thing. It's just kind of like, oh, they got one of those in my town. You know, it's like, what? I mean, nothing against where I live, but they've done this season. I feel like mostly, especially last week, they've done a very good job of showing some cool places. Well, I mean, obviously it's not hard when you're in, you know, some things in overseas, but this like did have that feeling like, oh, we're going to go somewhere new because, you know, he gives the introduction. He talks about how it's a steel town and how it's become so creative. And that wasn't it. That was the two sides of the detour. But the task in the middle, it was just like, well, you got to have them do something. I guess if they climb this giant climbing wall, that's a good visual. Half the teams are afraid of heights. Maybe we'll get something there. But the bike riding, it's like, how many times have they ridden bikes on the Amazing Race? You know? So I think luckily we didn't spend that much time on that. And I also think because we didn't, it led to something interesting where we ended up spending the last 6 or 7 minutes on the next leg. But that actually speaks to the show kind of being bored by this leg.
Yeah, I got the sense that the show was just going through the motions here. Like, this was really a chess pieces episode. This is like, we're going to put everything in position for the next leg. And over at previously.tv for Amazing Race US, I've been writing recaps in this style called the watch skip index, where you take every section of the show, like between the commercial breaks, and you say, if you're DVRing this, you can skip this part, or you should probably watch it because X, Y, and Z. And then at the end, I say, you know, the episode as a whole, do you want to watch it or want to skip it? And a lot of times, like, I'm not very nice to the non-elimination legs or the super legs. And this is one of those ones I'd just say, you didn't miss anything. You can skip this leg entirely. It's as if it never happened. And you can go straight on to the next thing where someone's probably getting eliminated next week. And we've already got everybody in motion on that leg to begin with.
Right. If the first task, and that's kind of what I mentioned about the US version, where they often do like, you're going to climb off a building or you're going to skydive. And I'm like, that's cool, but that's not enough to do a whole leg. So you, in a sense, what really happened this week is Frankie and Amy use their express pass. And apparently that may impact Steph and Kristen. That's all we really have to say. It could have an impact depending on the train situation and whether the team makes the train or not and such. But again, I don't think that's enough. And so this was not a worst of all Amazing Race series episodes I've ever seen. But I think it was easily the least interesting episode of the season. And even the episode two, which had a non-elimination, I don't remember being that way at all.
No, I definitely don't either. And it seems to me like we basically just did John Montgomery's job for him at the beginning of the next episode. Previously on The Amazing Race Canada, Frankie and Amy used their express pass. Steph and Kristen had to bear the consequences of their lie. And now everybody's on a train. So that's really all we got. And I appreciate the chance to kind of take a step back and get to know the racers a little more as people. But I felt like if we're going to go through a whole episode to end on a non-elimination note, I want there to be some more substance in the episode itself. Like I want it to be an exciting leg where, you know, maybe the outcome is uncertain for a while. Maybe they're doing something really amazing and fun to watch. And we didn't really have any of that. It was like just one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And almost all of it could have been done in anybody's backyard. And at the end of all that, nobody even goes home.
Yeah. And that's where I find that I had a feeling we talked about this last week.
Right.
No one was being eliminated in some fashion. But in general, and this was the case with episode two, you typically, when you have a non-elimination, if it's done well, there are the tasks are either so hard, especially a super leg. I feel like if they do it well, it's such a grueling leg that when teams find out it's still racing, they look at the hosts like, you have got to be kidding me. This is ridiculous. Like they're exhausted because you have more leeway to make the task even harder because you know that you don't feel like you're being unfair because teams will, you know, they're not being eliminated. You can keep people interested. And I think it was also a case where a lot of times those will come up in the US version, like they put them in India and they have them do crazy things or Africa or whatnot. Here you find yourself in the least interesting destination of the season. So you have kind of a double problem where you have a destination that's not that interesting and you're not eliminating anyone. So it's a case where you've got to do something amazing, for lack of a better term. And I feel like the detour was good. It was a solid detour, you know. But it wasn't enough to make up for the fact that not that much happened. I mean, I don't want to not mention the BMO's main branch that they went to because that was exciting. Now, I do. And you mentioned liking to see stuff. I do like when they get a glimpse at some of the people, their families, though. Really, they rolled through after the first few, with a few exceptions, they really rolled through the families so fast.
Yeah, but I think that's par for the course as well. I don't think you want to see a ton of that. And also, I think it's logistically harder to do on The Amazing Race because, you know, with Survivor, everybody gets their own loved one, right? And with Amazing Race, who are you choosing for the loved one? If the people are not related to each other or married to each other, like someone's family member is someone you're not getting to see. Like, I think with Steph and Kristen, we saw like one of them, it was their sibling or parent, and it was like, oh, okay. Well, that was nice for you, but what about the other one?
Yeah, and that's where some, they would identify one person and not the other. And I'd be like, who's that other person? But yeah, that is why also we saw a little more attention on Rita and Yvette because they're sisters. And on, obviously, Julie and Lowell. One, because, of course, they have a cute family. That's required for them, that they're that way. But also, it's their family. So they're married. It's a bit different.
Yeah. It's like, of course, we're going to see their kids. And they're also the ones that are going to break down. And that's the other thing. Like on Survivor, they've pushed everybody to their physical limits to the point where, you know, you're out there. You haven't eaten in 3 weeks and you haven't really slept because you've been on the ground with like rats and stuff. And then you watch your video from home. Everybody is clean and fed and they remind you of all the stuff at home. It really gets in your head. And of course, everybody just turns into a weepy mess. And the only people that are turning into a weepy mess after 2 weeks of flying around Canada are going to be the people with small children. So we'll show them. Everybody else is like, oh, yeah, hey, it's my dad. Yay. And that's all you need.
Exactly. Like if I was doing this with my wife, which would never happen, and I saw my girls, we'd both be losing it. But if it was like me and a friend or something, and I saw my brother, I'd be like, oh, hey, what's going on? It would not have the same. And the show would be like, well, that was really boring. And they would just roll through it. So that's a good point. But it was a nice little touch.
Dan, if you and I were running as a team and they'd show your family, you're a weepy mess. And I'm like, oh, hey, Dan's family. What's up?
You're like, I think I saw a picture of them once. I don't know, on Facebook. You know?
Yeah, your family's very nice.
So it's definitely a different zone there. And of course it's happening in like a bank. So that's not that exciting either.
Not really, no. Yeah. So I thought it was a better product placement than some. And did you spot the Mentos moment, speaking of product placement?
You know, I missed it this week. How did I miss it? They're so obvious.
Oh, no Mentos for you, man. It was during the welding task. It was on Frankie and Amy's welding table.
Frankie and Amy were probably just like, we're having enough issues. Get that Mentos out of here.
Yeah, I would like shoot my blowtorch at the Mentos.
All right. Well, getting back to the important thing, are we ready? Should we talk about the detour?
Let's go ahead and talk about the detour.
So are you a big fan of the band Elliot Brood, particularly their drummer, Dootz?
All I am now.
And, you know, again, I don't feel like, unlike the Beatnik Bus guy, I don't feel like they really got much of a chance. We had a little bit of a hey, 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 and that was about it, you know, but they didn't really get a chance to shine, I feel like.
Well, at least they got to do more than one song. Like, that wasn't the same song over and over.
You're right. The set, when we saw, I think it was Julian Lowell got their clue and did his little dad dance, and it was not the same song. So they are victorious over the man in the Beatnik Bus.
Yeah, and I think they might have more Twitter followers.
Oh, man. Hold on. Let's continue to talk about this detour. So to you, while I look this up seamlessly while we talk, what was the better choice here?
I think it had to be Art Rock, because it looked like, you know, the welding took everybody several tries, and the art project, like, it was a little more forgivable, and there was definitely a technique to it, and if you mastered that technique, you were fine. They weren't like super exacting. It was just like they threw a couple of wrong stencils in there so you'd pay attention. And you had to look at like what colors were on the bottom and what colors overlapped those colors. And once you figured that out, and once you figured out you can't spray too much paint on it, that's all you really needed to do.
Yeah, I agree. Because personally, I'm not the greatest artist, but I feel like, you know, once you had that moment, you know, where, like, I think it was Joel and Ashley, where the paint just kind of falls and you go, okay, this isn't what we do. In theory, you should be able to succeed. And that's the kind of task you want. What you don't want is something that no matter how hard you try, you just may not be skilled enough to do, which was the case with Dry Dock.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, someone like Emmett, who's apparently, it's another one of his weird little pockets of experience. I haven't seen someone on this race who's had that many weird little applicable things happen in his life, I think, maybe since Ron of Ron and Christina.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's just like, right away, I'm totally great at welding, you know. And the thing about it is you've seen people that say things like that, but usually they're liars.
Right. They're like coach.
Yeah, where we've seen there was one dad who, like, it was a dad and a son, where the dad just was like, you are so terrible. I could have done this so much better, like over and over. And after a while, you're just like, okay, we get it. We get it. But this isn't the case. Every time he has said this, he's been good. Like, he basically finishes like, and then just starts yelling at Julian, which I don't think was the best approach. But, you know, we got some drama with there. But yeah, he's tracking his, you know, I still just like to call everything says jam, but it's true. He seems to be. And the only other team that did this task that finished, I mean, only three try, was Steph and Kristen. And again, Kristen also could chalk up welding to something she's very good at.
Yeah, that's true. Apparently it's something professional lesbians know how to do.
Yeah, she came out early enough where she learned how to weld. So I guess that's what happened. She made the joke. So
it's like, you know, you get your toaster oven and then you start welding.
Well, you know, that was impressive on both fronts, and those teams going 1-2 again. It's just one of those situations where, I mean, we've seen a case where Jillian and Emmett struggled. So I'm not going to say they're both in the finals, but they're probably, of course, last I did pull my jinx by saying that Joel and Ashley have been in the finals. And of course, which we have not mentioned yet, they did finish last. So my time traveling jinx is still in effect.
It's true. Like, Dan, you should never say anything nice about anybody, because they're all just going to fail as soon as you drop that compliment. Would you like the update on Elliot Brood?
I just looked it up also, which is unfortunate because I wanted to have you guess how many followers they have. because it's a lot more than I would have guessed.
Well, as soon as I typed their name in the Twitter search and it came up as verified, I'm like, well, you know, verified, that is rarefied. And indeed, they have, they're doing better than most of us. These guys must be famous in Canada, I'm guessing, because they must be a known entity, at least in the greater Hamilton metropolitan region.
Right. They have 22,500 followers, and they are very stingy. They have only followed 128. They're not one of those people that got it by following 10,000 people.
No, I want to point out among their followers, it says there's five followers that I know. And those five followers are a few of our Amazing Race Canada viewers, a Canadian singer-songwriter that I like very much, and the Beatnik Bus.
The only follower that I know is the Beatnik Bus. Well, I will say that we probably do not need to give them the Rob is a podcast bump here, or given that they would not even notice it. We would not even jump it probably to 22,600 with our 100 person bump that we could give them.
Yeah, these people have more followers than John Montgomery, so I think they're doing okay.
Wow. So, you know, to all the Elliott Brood fans out there, we were not making fun of their music. We think they're amazing. Please do not stop listening to the show, Canadians, because of our comments or my comments earlier.
I think Elliott Brood's rabid fan base is probably going to be okay with anything we've said about them.
Well, hey, I'm excited though. I mean, I think they got a pretty big act on here. So poor Beatnik Bus, still just toiling around in obscurity.
Well, I think we did our part where Beatnik Bus is concerned.
Yeah, no, we helped them out, especially given how many followers they had. The percentage was very high. But so what else? Do we have anything else to really talk about with this task? Because I feel like, you know, Joel and Ashley were not very good at this task. If they had been good, they would have probably beaten Frankie and Amy. But also Frankie and Amy did very good. That's pretty much it. I mean, Rita and Yvette were pretty good. Julie and Lowell were pretty good. What else is there to say really about this detour?
I think Joel and Ashley just had a crappy leg all around. Like you had Ashley being afraid of being on a climbing wall, a foot off the ground. You had the taxi driver taking them to the totally wrong place. And then you had them completely sucking at this painting task. I think all these things conspired against them. It's just like one bad thing after another. I don't think you could point at one thing they did this leg and say, if you'd done this differently, you probably wouldn't have been in last. So I guess from that standpoint, they lucked out that this was not a leg that it mattered.
Right. And we've talked about that, teams having that one leg where all of a sudden you just can't do anything right and how to get over that. One way to get over it is just to have it not be an elimination leg. But they haven't even really been in danger of being eliminated before this one. I mean, except for really early in legs. So I guess the two big questions here is the train thing going to, because the weird thing about this leg, which I have never seen on a continue racing that is not like a 2 hour leg, like a 2 hour episode, is that we spent, like we said earlier, the last 6 or 7 minutes with teams on trains. And I think that was to set up the idea they might not make it. So what are the odds that they actually are eliminated because they can't make the train and they have to be met in some dark train station by John?
I don't think that's going to happen. I would suspect, I'm not exactly sure. I didn't map this out or check the train timetables, but I'm going to guess they arrive in Kingston in the evening. Like, if you get on the late afternoon train, you wind up in Kingston in the evening. I'm going to guess nobody's going to have to do anything tonight. I'm going to say everybody gets off that train and they're given tents or something and told, like, go sleep on the floor in this place and we'll see you in the morning for your next leg. So even if Joel and Ashley miss that later train, they're still going to be caught up to everybody in the morning and everybody will take departure times and it'll be just as if they landed there on a plane.
I think so too. I think that also the fact that, I hate to read into the previews, but if there is anything more about the Express Pass, that would also imply that Steph and Kristen see a lot of other teams. And it, from a race design perspective, you rarely see where I would think with a continue racing, they would want to give everybody a chance.
Yeah, I think they would. And like, think about maybe the most famous continue racing leg of all time, and perhaps my favorite episode of all time, would be the Amazing Race US season 6 leg in Hungary, where Laurie and Bolo are 10 hours behind everybody else. They sleep on a train platform. They get back to the city. They do a fast forward, go from last to first. That's the kind of thing that these legs are made for.
Yeah, that is great. And that was one where, like, they cut and they just look like the most miserable people. It was almost like the question, like, will Lori and Bolo ever find their way out of this predicament? And then they end up in first. So I don't know if Joel and Ashley are going to be first, but I don't think they're getting eliminated next week.
No, I don't think they are either. And I think even if they are getting eliminated, they're going to be in the mix. Like, it's going to be, they're going to interact with other teams, because otherwise, what was all that Express Pass buildup? They're the only ones that know for sure that that Express Pass was a thing, apart from Frankie and Amy and Steph and Kristen. They need to be in there to, like, either tell people or not.
Right. And I'm going to assume that Kristen agreeing that she was not going to U-turn Joel and Ashley, that then we are not being set up for then Kristen changing her mind and U-turning them. That would seem like not the most likely scenario.
I think they would be crushed by the guilt they did that. Like, they're already second guessing their decision to lie about that pass. If they do one other bad thing, they're just going to implode.
Yeah. And that actually might be, that's an interesting case too, where what if they get U-turned, Steph and Kristen, and then have to, it's a double U-turn. So then they have to pick someone else. And Joel and Ashley are last going into this leg. Would they end up choosing somebody else and pretty much kicking somebody else out? That'll be interesting.
It'll be really interesting. And especially if we don't get that bunching, they know for sure Joel and Ashley were a couple hours behind. It'd have to be pretty tempting to use that second half of the U-turn on a team you know is already in last place.
That's what I would do. I mean, yeah. I don't know if I would do it if I had promised someone. You know, that's trickier. But to me, if there's no bunching and you know, I mean, the thing is, they don't know for sure, though. That's the thing. If there's no bunching and they are so, well, let's say Jillian and Emmett and them are the only two and they're jockeying for a position. All they really know is that Reed at a vet and Joel and Ashley and some of, they never saw those teams that were that went to the other detour, so that they may just pick one of the other teams that they didn't see.
Yeah, they may. But I guess there are a lot of interesting paths this could take and a lot of less interesting paths this could take. I think that we just have to know if there's going to be bunching at the beginning of the next leg before we can even say what's possible, you know?
Right. And I feel like we've done so much fan fiction this. It says something about this leg itself where it sets up interesting things. So it's not a complete failure narratively wise or story wise. It's just that the tasks themselves were not so thrilling that we're having to talk about what's going to happen in the future more than the present or the past.
Again, it's a chess piece episode. Like, it sets up some scenarios for us to run. But I think the only other thing I wanted to mention this episode, which it really didn't have a lot of impact, I don't believe, on what's going to happen next. It was just a fun throwaway thing, is if you have a task at a brewery, you should be able to take a beer with you. And also, you should have to bring one for John.
That's the thing I always wonder. I mean, we've talked about, I think we even talked about this last season, actually, when I was like, why are they not doing anything with beer? And this show, they go to so many breweries. It seems like every season they've done it multiple times. But maybe that's a Canadian or John's thing. But it was nice to see. And I loved Amy's comment, like, but I've got a buzz going. They found out they had to keep racing, which I found very entertaining, because that'd be me. We're going to a brewery. I'm like, hey, free beer. All right. Because it's not like you have time to buy drinks that often. So
no, it's true.
It's fun.
And of course, beer is basically the reason that John Montgomery is famous in the first place.
True. And we have still not gotten the recreate John drinking the beer moment, which I still think they should do right before the finish line of the final leg. Like, you can't check in yet. Drink this pitcher of beer or something. But one of these seasons, maybe that'll be the, people will call that the jump the shark moment or something. But
yeah, I mean, he already recreated the moment himself. But yeah, there definitely needs to be, like, if we're going to do a nighttime leg and, you know, just have a bunch of locals standing at the side of the road and you have to, like, run this gauntlet while chugging a beer, I think it'd be perfect.
And they need to do this too as a face off, right?
Right. This is a face off. So somebody ends up drinking 8 pitchers of beer and
they
get medevaced.
Yeah, no, the show can't do that. They can't. That would be terrible. So are we ready for a few questions?
Let's do some questions.
Okay, well, this was a question for me, but I feel like I wanted to mention it. I had James Ong say earlier this season, Dan commented that the Express Pass was overvalued. And I do want to get your opinion when I've given my thoughts. Please explain. So it's pretty simple for me, James. This is especially true of the U.S. version. Teams will win the Express Pass, and basically it's like they think they just, like, oh, this means for sure we're going to win. Because the Express Pass allows you to skip one task, not one leg, not jumping from last to first. This episode we just saw is a perfect example of why the Express Pass is overvalued. Team used it. They skipped a leg. They thought they were going to finish first or a task. They didn't. I think it's a very valuable tool if used correctly. The reason it's overvalued is because everyone uses it wrong. And it's only a one-time thing. It's not a guarantee of anything. What do you think, Jess?
I'm definitely on board with this. And that's one of the reasons I like the Express Pass, to be honest. I think the Fast Forward is ridiculously overpowered. And so the Express Pass is kind of a happy medium here, where you can skip one task, but you don't have to do something ridiculously easy and skip everything and get guaranteed first place, basically. You have this opportunity to strategically use it, and people don't know how to strategically use it, which, you know, every game show is predicated on the idea that the people watching at home will have an opportunity to watch someone do something dumb and feel superior to them. And I think in that regard, the Express Pass succeeds beyond our wildest expectations.
True. And so basically they have the ability to, like, the viewers can do Jillian's comment, which was that she is not dumber than the dumbest person that Emmett has ever met. So basically, that
they've
is
been
that
on
is
Big Brother. So
that's true. She's like, I'm not dumber than those 10 people that were in the house or with us or something. But I just had to mention that quote because it made me laugh pretty hard. So, yeah, I agree. I think that they don't expect teams to come. The producers do not expect teams to come on and, like, you know, be so knowledgeable and just, you know, and actually those teams who, like, know it so well will probably, like, overthink it, like someone on Survivor, like a Stephen Fishback or someone who might overthink it. I don't think he listened to this, so I think we're safe, but who might overthink
Stephen Fishback
something.
Hates The Amazing Race.
If he's listening to this, I will be floored. But yeah, I think that's true. I like it when it's a tool that teams can use and it's part of the show. I don't like it when Phil and the show itself, and I mentioned Phil because spend so much time on it, and then they have every team talk about it, and it's presented almost like a fast forward, but like a fast forward you can use on any leg, and that's really not true. But I also think that I agree with you. With the fast forward, if you're not going to have it every leg, and this is another whole thing, it is really powerful when it's only there one or two times.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that.
So some of our other questions, you could tell that people were not thrilled with this episode based on a few questions. I mean,
I think worst ever is probably hyperbolic.
Yeah. We did have a question about whether from Joffrey Tambor, but are they going to leave Canada ever? As a Canadian, I have to admit being kind of bored. I mean, Hamilton? Now, I don't share this much, but I'm not Canadian, so I understand it. But I'd probably be like, if they, like, chose a suburb of St. Louis, I'd be like, really? But yes, I don't know where, so it's easy for me, but I know that they are going to another country out of Canada.
Yeah, they're going to go. I know what the country is, but we will avoid telling you guys because I know some people don't like to be spoiled about that. I'm really excited for it, though, to be honest. And yeah, I do think if every leg in Canada was on the level of Hamilton, I'd be pretty bored. And like I said, you know, this doesn't seem like a place that's a destination, but coming off of Haida Gwaii last week, which absolutely felt like a destination, that felt very epic. I think there's still room to stay in Canada and have things be epic.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's tough. I don't think it's easy. And when you get to season four to do that, but if they're not going to have something be unique or feel like a destination or epic, then they've got to go. I don't want, see, that's the thing. I'm not one of the people like I've seen a few comments on our on Robinson website too, where people basically have said, well, I don't like this version because they don't go overseas enough. Well, the show is really designed, you know, they say things like make Canada proud and everything. It's designed to showcase the country of Canada, but they try to go international. But if they're going to have more episodes that just showcase any city and it's not as unique, then I think they do need to consider going international more.
Yeah, I don't want them to go international all the time, though, because then that just makes it another season of Amazing Race US. And I think one of the things that I respond to so much about Amazing Race Canada is that it is very Canadian. They've managed to give it this very Canadian identity. And the more they go abroad, the more they jeopardize their ability to keep it as Canadian as they have.
No, I agree. I think that I just hope that, and most of the time they've done a really good job of, there's been very few episodes that stand out. I mean, several people mentioned Sudbury, but there've been very few episodes that stand out as kind of just like, oh, I mean, most of the time, no matter where they are, it's a big city or not, they typically, I mean, they were in Calgary this season and they did a great job. So it's possible to make even cities that people know better be really interesting.
Yeah, they could take a traveling record store bus with 500 followers on Twitter and they can make that seem epic.
Are you saying that was that it wouldn't be epic on its own?
It is epic on its own. It's underrated.
Yes.
So this is more of a comment than a question, but I thought it was very funny. Ryan Gerald said, who's ready for backseat driving? Jillian has been training for this task the whole race.
You know, Jillian gets so much flack, and I mean, partially deserved, I think. But I also think she's a really strong racer. We've seen some people that complain a lot where their partner just drags them through the world or something. But and she didn't do great at the welding, but she did get it done. So that is a fun comment, though. And this, like we talked about last week, when she does lose it or freak out or anything, the show makes sure that we see all of it.
It's true. Like we're getting all of the highlights when it comes to Jillian.
For sure. I'm trying to find questions that we haven't addressed in our long fan fiction express pass segment here.
Well, I've got another one queued up.
Yeah, go for it.
That I think we haven't really addressed. A Shizzle wanted to know, did you also find it odd that they told us it was a continuation episode at the first team, not the last?
It's been done both ways.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually been sometimes where teams check in and we don't even see it. And then the last team is told, or the first team. I think it hits on what we said earlier. I think when the episode is really jam packed and there's a ton of things, they tell the first team and that's it, to be continued. But this week, I don't feel like they really had enough. And maybe next week, there's just so much good content from next week that they kind of decided, well, we don't really need to show a full 43 minutes or so here. Let's pull in more from next week. So that's why they decided to make the decision.
Yeah. And you know, it'll be nice next week to not enter the episode on a whole bunch of train drama.
Or enter the episode with every single team going, oh, we're still racing. You know, at least we've gotten through all that, right? I mean, that's done.
Yeah, they could do the thing like, you know, when you watch this show without commercials and you see every cut to commercial and it comes back on the identical scene, just in case you were watching the commercial and you forgot what had just happened.
But hopefully they'll knock that out in the previously on. But yeah, I hope that, well, they do. This show, though, does make a point to show the departure times for everyone, which were actually pretty tight this week, amazingly enough. But so unfortunately, maybe when they show that, hopefully they won't be showing that while the teams are reacting again with the same thing.
Yeah, let's hope not. So do you have anything else that we need to address?
I mean, we had a question about from Cameron Taylor about, was Frankie and Amy's use of the express pass the worst in the Amazing Race history? Now, that's a tough question for me to answer. It's definitely in the conversation, but there's been plenty, even where teams finished first, where I thought they were kind of dumb. So I guess, was their use the worst? My thought is, how much does it depend? If you just base it on where they finished, or do you base it on when they did it? I'm not going to have you rank it, but do you think this is up there, right? It's one of the worst.
Yeah, maybe. But I think nothing about this episode was exciting enough to me to merit any kind of superlative.
Right. It's almost like one of those where, especially because they didn't, if they'd done that and then finished last and been eliminated, you might say, wow, that's crazy. But they finished fifth and they're still racing. So it's like, okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. They don't have the express pass.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I would put a lot of express pass uses as slightly dumber than this one. And in fact, I would say the dumbest of all is if you leave the game with that express pass still in your pocket.
Right, which happened not only with the famous John Jessica, but happened on this show too, actually.
It certainly did.
Yeah, so from a pretty strong team, had this happen to them. So it can, using it may seem dumb, but not using it is worse.
Absolutely. All right. So with all that in mind, I think we've pretty much covered the bulk of everything else everybody has asked. So I think it's about time to start wrapping things up. And I have a couple of administrative notes, as always. We frequently, and especially this week, I understand that a lot of you non-Canadians out there had a very tough time tracking this episode down. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that, which we don't get into on the podcast because we don't really like to talk about all of the, shall we say, extra legal ways in which one could obtain this show. But I appreciate the difficulty. I had some difficulty myself. So for those of you out there who are not Canadian, who want the inside scoop every week on the best ways to access Amazing Race Canada, the best thing you can do for yourselves is not to hit me up on Twitter saying, hey, do you have a link? Because the answer is always, we tell you in the podcast how to get your links. The best way to do that is to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhaspodcast.com/Patreon and you can join for just a couple bucks a month. You get exclusive access to the patron-only Facebook group, in which we share all of our links. And I also have written up a comprehensive guide of all the different ways that you can attempt to access Canadian content when you yourself are not in Canada. That's the best thing you can do for yourself. And it also helps us out a great deal, helps us keep the lights on all across Rob Has a Podcast. And I think the best thing about it is it helps you connect with other fans and make some really strong, lasting friendships. So that's my plug. If you guys like what you're hearing, we would love to hear your feedback. You can feel free to leave us comments on robhasawebsite.com. Scroll down to Reality TV Wrap-Ups and find the page for the episode. Leave us your comments there and we check them out frequently. We are happy to hear from you guys and engage with you about the episode or about anything else in your life, really. And we can also be tweeted at. Once you're finished watching the episode, if you are Canadian, you watch it live, feel free to start tweeting your questions at us right away. We'll get to them. I am at Haymaker Hattie.
And I am at the Dan Heaton. And I need to work harder on my Twitter presence, though, so I can catch Elliot Perud very soon.
Yeah, I guess that's something we can all aspire to. I mean, if Rob can't get verified on Twitter, I don't know what hope the rest of us have, but I hear that helps. So we will start there. So with all of that, thank you so much, Dan, for another fun episode of podcasting. And thank you to all of our listeners, and we will see you next week.